although people like Diane have done so much to raise awareness of poaching and conservation issues, sadly, the problem of poaching hasn't gone away. So what is the best way to fight it, now and in the future? We're joined down the line by Simon Hedges, who works for the Wildlife Conservation Society. So how much of a problem is poaching generally for wildlife species?
It is a very significant problem for a whole suite of species across most of the planet, unfortunately. Obviously, we hear about elephants and rhinos particularly, and scary statistics like 100,000 elephants killed in 3 years across Africa, 2010 to 2012. Thousands of rhinos being killed. We're losing populations and we're losing range of a lot of species. And of course, a lot of species are actually threatened by poachers to the extent that they actually go extinct in some places.
In the case of the mountain gorillas, they were being poached for their hands, their feet, their babies were being taken. In the case of the other species, we get rhinos being poached for their horns, elephants being poached for their ivory. Is it this kind of medicinal and valuable use that makes people want to poach these animals?
Well, very much in the case of those species, with the price of rhino horn more than cocaine or even diamonds, people can make a tremendous amount of money with very limited investment of time. Obviously, there's a risk, tremendous risk. They might lose their lives. But given how poor some people are across much of the range of these species, there's the temptation. But more significantly, I think, and it's not just poor people, I think that's a very important point to get across, what we're increasingly seeing is organised criminal syndicates involved in the poaching and the trafficking of ivory and of rhino horn. And it's the involvement of these groups particularly which has led to the crisis we're seeing for elephants and for rhinos right now in the last decade or so.
This is big stuff. If there's organised groups doing it, how do we fight it? What are some of the ways that people are trying?
There are a number of tools in the arsenal, if you will. Probably the two key things are to secure the key populations of elephants, rhinos, and all the other species affected by poaching in the sites they live in through much more sophisticated and much more people-friendly poaching operations than those you were talking about with the Diane Fossey story. Obviously, one needs people, local people on side. And it's important to recognise that local people are often threatened by these armed poaching gangs as well. Their local security, their livelihood, are undermined. So it's possible to have a win-win situation where anti-poaching operations that are done in a sensitive way and are not criminalising the local people can actually benefit those local people, as well as protecting the populations of wildlife we're interested in.
As well as getting the local population involved, are there any more high-tech ways that people can try and stop poachers, or do we just need better fencing?
I don't think it's really a question of fencing. I mean, fencing doesn't have a particularly useful role in anti-poaching, I don't think. I mean, because poachers can easily cut the fences, and indeed, in many places, poachers use fencing wire to make snares. Poaching can be combated through better equipped, better managed, better paid, better motivated rangers whose sacrifices is recognised by the global community. There are possibilities of using things like drones and other high-tech tools, but essentially, it does come down to motivated people properly trained to do the job.
So those are boots on the ground kind of approaches. But what about just stopping the demand for these products?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the two ends of the trade chain, if you like, the poaching end and the demand end are the key ends of the trade. Obviously, poachers are trafficking ivory in between, but there's many, many routes that contraband can be smuggled. It's rather like water. It takes the path of least resistance. So the key thing to do is to reduce the demand and reduce the consumption of ivory and rhino horn and these other products in the main markets, which for ivory and rhino horn are China and Vietnam and other countries in the Far East to a large degree.
How can that be done? I mean, if you just say this is all completely illegal, you shouldn't do it anymore, I guess is that the only way that we can do it, through basically making this stuff illegal?
That. I mean, and currently, actually, it is legal to trade ivory in many countries around the world in the domestic sense, in local markets. It's perfectly legal to go into London and buy ivory, as it is in Beijing or many other countries. So domestic bans to complement the international ban is definitely part of the jigsaw puzzle, part of the suite of tools we need. But if you just ban something, you potentially just push the demand underground, like with prohibition, with alcohol. So what one also needs to do is to actually educate people and affect behavioural change so that the desire to have those products is reduced. And this has happened before. I mean, a number of countries which used to be major players players in rhino horn and ivory poaching and consumption are no longer implicated. So we know that demand reduction, consumption can be reduced through a combination of education, awareness raising, and legal approaches.
We have heard recently that South Africa is considering re-legalising rhino horn. I mean, that would seem to fly in the face, wouldn't it, sort of very briefly?
Yes, international trade remains banned. South Africa can request, but I think an opening of international trade in rhino horn, but I think it's tremendously unlikely to be successful in that request at the CITES meeting, the wildlife trade meeting in the autumn of this year. I think most people think they will be unsuccessful in that request.
Well, let's hope that something gets done to keep protecting these species. Thank you very much. That's Simon Hedges from the Wildlife Conservation Society.